Anyway, it's great to see you, church. I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm so thankful that you have made the decision to be a part of our forever family here at Azalea City. I am so thankful that you made the decision to get up, be with us, and be a part of this place. Boy, it's a beautiful place. We started out this morning with a record crowd in our class. We have a Roadrunners class. That's our group that meets over in the gym, literally in the gym. And we had to get extra chairs, and so that was great. And so Michelle's showing me I'm having technical difficulties again. But I've got my notes this morning somehow through my phone. So anyhow, but it came up on my iPad, but I've got my phone. I'll just use that. So I'm going to go with it. But anyhow, we had a great class this morning, and we have a great crowd in here, nearly 300 people here today. And this is great. This is great. This is the way it should be. And I am so excited. And we're going to keep growing here. Speaking of growing, I got to tell you, we've had a couple in the balcony that have been worshiping with us for quite some time. And I just, they've gotten in, they've done member work, and they've been very excited and very busy here. But I am thankful to officially announce today that Steve and Kathy Johnson are ready to be identified with Azalea City. And they're members here officially, even though they've been working a long time here. And they are in the balcony, but I'm going to have to get you to stand up. I know you know these guys already, but let them know we love them and we appreciate them. Man, is it good to see my buddy Terry Cameron here today. Terry, glad you're here, brother. We're going to keep praying for you, and it certainly feels right having you back able to be with us today. So we love you and appreciate you. So I'm thankful for that. A couple other announcements real quick that I wanted to mention and emphasize to you. We mentioned about Lads to Leaders, but please, if you have been in Lads to Leaders, and even if you're not going to convention, but again, we'd love for you to go to convention. I think it may be too late now on registration, but no, it's not too late if you still want to go, okay? And so anyhow, the point of it is, take it serious, please, and just know that Mark and Katie have worked real hard, and so many others have as well, and so don't want to leave anybody out, but especially want to mention them, but please, let's know that that's coming up. Then also, Bible Bowl today, because of Open House of Mobile Christian, I can't be there. And then George is sick this morning, and so he can't. So we'll just give you your assignment, and I think puppets are going to meet during that time. But anyhow, that's that. Today is Open House of Mobile Christian School. It's a big time for us, our January Open House over there. And so if you're interested in the school, you feel free to go over there and check things out. But today I'm going to conclude a series of lessons I've been talking about all month long. Our theme this year, of course, is the theme Renew, as you can see behind me. And we're talking about rebuilding. We're talking about building a new you. The old you may have been fine, and we might need to just spruce things up a little bit. But the old you also, the old me as well, may certainly have been something that we're not very proud of. Maybe there's been some mistakes. Maybe there's been some struggles. Maybe there's been some drift away from the Lord, drift away from our walk. Boy, Michael, I appreciate that prayer about how holy God is. Maybe we've drifted away from the Holy One, and we've drifted back into the worldly place, the worldly prodigal living that the prodigal son ended up drifting into. Maybe we find ourselves in the pig's pen. Well, it's time to come to our senses. But you know what? We need to recognize as we're building a new you and a new me, we can't do it alone. We need God, first of all. We need God to direct our paths, to direct our steps, to help us out. But we also need each other. And that's why I'm so thankful that today, with the numbers we have here, there is somebody on the pews next to us, in the section around us, in the church building somewhere, in our fellowship together, that if you're struggling with something, chances are you know of someone or there's someone that has struggled with it as well. And if we can help one another and we can counsel one another and we can look out for one another and encourage one another, then we can be there to help each other build the right way. We can help each other to be renewed. We can help each other to have the relationship with God we need to have. In this next slide, you see a ladder. You might have a ladder very similar to that, and I do as well. When my son was about 3 years old, I would sometimes get the ladder out. It might be trimming crepe myrtles. It might be hanging Christmas lights or something like that. And he, of course, always wanted to see what I was doing. And so at that point in time, he would be like, "Daddy, can I climb the ladder?" So, you know, like all good daddies, I'm like, "Sure, go on up there." And then he gets to the top, and or crazy daddies, I might have should have said. But anyhow, he gets to the top, and he gets a little apprehension about him, and he doesn't want to climb down. He may not even remember this. He might have even been two, for all I remember. But the point is, he climbed to the top, and he couldn't climb down. He was a little nervous. So I wanted to help what? Build his trust. Build his courage. Build his faith in his dad. So just like all, again, good or crazy daddies, I would say, jump. If you don't want to climb, just jump. And so he would jump to me, and of course I'd catch him. But I would have done everything in my power to catch him. I would have done everything in my power to make sure that if somebody had to take the fall, I would have taken the fall. Well, when you think about our spiritual walk, sometimes we get to the top. We get in this water. We come up out of the water, and we feel great, but then all of a sudden apprehension sets in. And we don't know. If I take one wrong step, man, I am so close to the edge, I'm going to fall. But our Father is there, and He's telling us to jump. But here's where our part is. We didn't have anybody around us. Probably a good thing Mama wasn't around us. But we didn't have anybody saying, "Come on, Bo, you can do it, you can do it." But we have a church that can say, "Come on, Terry, fill in your name. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it." And that's what today's lesson's about. Building you and building me together. We need each other. And so when you think of building and you think of together, if I had to survey you right now, I bet you'd say Nehemiah. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The book of Nehemiah. You can go ahead and turn to the book of Nehemiah. We'll primarily be in that book today. But when I think about Nehemiah, I think about what he did is exactly what I want us to do here at Azalea City. I want us to be rallied together. I want us to be renewed. I want us to be so encouraged by our attendance, by our encouragement, our kindness, our gentleness, our love, our Jesus Christ, that others want to be here. They want to be built up. And that's exactly how Nehemiah did it. What do we know about Nehemiah? We know a few things. First of all, we know he was had a very important role working for the king. He was the cupbearer. That was a responsibility that they certainly had to have somebody they trusted, because he would make sure that before the king drank something, it was not poisonous. And so that was a very stressful job, you could imagine, but a very important job. So we know that this is a man who took his responsibility in serving very, very seriously. We also know that he has a love and passion for his people, for his brethren. If we could say those two things about us today, we'd be okay, wouldn't we? That we take what we do very serious. Because whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all to the name and the glory of our Father. And when we do that, that's a lot to be said about a person. That's a lot to be said about their character. But then the second thing we can understand is, if we could have this said about us, hey, that person, they love their church family. They love the brotherhood. They love the fellowship. They love the brethren. They loved that community feel of the church of our Lord, because that's what we are to be. And so if we could say those two things about us today and leave here, then we ought to feel pretty good about ourselves. But we also need to make sure that we can rally that in others, and so Nehemiah did. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it reads like this, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had served the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, "The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Hanani was one of his brethren. And he came and he delivered this news. This news was not good news. Here's what the news was, and I'm going to put it in Terry's terms. Nehemiah, your brethren, our family, our people, they're broken. They're hurting. And there's a serious, serious problem that's going on. Now let me remind you of the seriousness of this. Jerusalem was a city around 2 miles or so in diameter that these walls would have been, and they were broken down. Again, they had gone to captivity, and it was really a very serious matter. And so once your fortification was broken, then you had a very, very direct route to the enemy. And the enemy had a direct route to you. Once those walls went down, it was a very serious matter for Israel, and they are broken. And they're more than just broken with walls. They're broken on the inside. They're hurting. They're struggling. They need to have a new them. They need to have new walls, yes, but they need to be rebuilt spiritually. They need to be rebuilt physically, financially. Every way you can be built, they need that. So what did Nehemiah do? He recognized that. Even though he's away working for the king, he recognized and he felt that longing for them. And so he sat down and he cried. I was going to ask a very personal question here, and you need to answer it honestly to yourselves. Do we love one another so much that when somebody is hurting, somebody we love and care for that's part of this family, does it hurt us to the point of tears? Are our hearts connected that much? Well, that wasn't all he did. He didn't just cry and say, okay, I feel better, man, you know, they'll get their lives back together. No, he then went and he fasted. Why? Because he needed to get rid of any distraction so he could focus on what he needed to do. Now think about your brothers, your sisters, my sisters, all of us. There may be somebody in here that's broken. Are we connecting that well? Are our hearts hurting that much? And now we're getting rid of any distraction so we can say fervent prayers on their behalf. That's what Nehemiah did. He mourned, he cried, he fasted, he prayed. Yes, because his home was in ruins, because his roots were, his family, his physical family were struggling, but it's because they were broken. Yes, the walls were broken, but their lives, as I said earlier, were broken. His brothers, his sisters, his family, today it would be our church, they were in distress, and his heart was with them. This is a bad, bad scene. And I know we know the story and we've heard this time and time again, but I want you to put yourself in those shoes. His family needed to be rebuilt. They needed to be rallied. They needed to be encouraged. But they couldn't do it alone. And so today, that's where we're at. Maybe you have recognized, I need to be rebuilt, but you're thinking, this is way too big for me. And this is where I want us all to agree. By the attendance we have, by the participation we have, by the hearts that we have here today, I want us to look at one another, and I want us to think about a commitment right now to say, hey, I'm going to help them get their lives together. I'm going to be there for them. We can't do it alone. We need one another. That's why he sat. That's why he cried. That's why he prayed. We're all, if we live long enough in the world, this cursed world, Not cursed because of God, but cursed because of Satan, cursed because of sin. This cursed world that we live in, if we live in it long enough, we will all face or have loved ones face times of opposition, times of struggle, times of tribulation. Jobs are going to get broken. There's going to be people, and there may even be people in here that they walked in one day with no good reason and they said, listen, I got to let you go. And your whole life just got flipped upside down. Marriages get broken. In here we have families that you've been through that. Maybe you're going through that. Maybe you're trying to overcome some of that. You know what it's like for your marriage, for your family to be broken. Well, you know what? From time to time, churches get broken. I'm proud to say we have a strong church because we have strong leadership in our elders here. But there are times that things get broken. Things get flipped upside down and challenges arise. When these times hit, when these realities hit, what are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? I want us to respond by doing what Nehemiah did. He was able to get folks to cooperate, to climb on a ladder, to climb on a wall, and start building their lives back brick by brick once again. What do we need to do? First thing we need to do is we need to have a plan. God gave us the plan. Nehemiah lays out a pretty good plan right here. How can we help others get through these difficult times? First thing we need to do is we need to have a plan and we need to pray. Prayer is something that a lot of people say. If you'll follow people that are religious at all, they'll say it. And I hope everybody means it. They'll say, hey, I'll pray for you. Hey, what's going on in your life? I'm struggling. I'm going to pray. And, you know, we do it. But I hope we take that serious because, man, what a blessing it is to be able to pray to God. Isn't it amazing that we could all stop what we're doing right now, bow our heads, and pray silently together, and God can hear every one of those prayers and answer them at the same time, the way He knows best? That's our God. That's how awesome He is. And we've got a direct line to Him through His Son and through the Holy Spirit. Because of that, we must take advantage. We must use it to God's glory, but to help build our strength and our confidence as well. Nehemiah understood it, so he prayed. He prayed in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. He also prayed before the king, Nehemiah 2, verse 4. We don't even have the words to that one, but isn't it amazing? Before he goes to the king, he teaches us a lesson. He turned somewhere along the way and he prayed. Maybe it was, God, give me strength. God, let him say yes. God, help me through this. Direct me. Help me to be able to rally these people. But he was able to, and the king listened. Also, we need to understand part of our plan is we've got to do like Nehemiah. He worked to unite his family. I'm going to talk more about this in just a minute, but one of the worst things we can do is work to divide our family. I'm talking about our spiritual family, our physical families too, but especially in our spiritual lives. What do you mean, Terry, work to divide our families? Well, it's real easy to work to divide our families when we get upset with one another and call somebody else and get them upset, or you know, I don't like Justin for the day, and so I'm going to call and upset other people about Justin. He doesn't like me tomorrow, and so he's going to get people upset. None of us like Jason, so we go, you know, and that's the way it works. I do. I love both of those guys with all my heart. But here's the point. That's the way it works. Maybe we get upset with the preacher, the youth minister, the one-to-one minister, the elders, or just the person that, hey, I saw once in a blue moon, or whatever. They didn't smile at me the way they were supposed to do. That's not what we are to be. That's not how we build a new us. We don't divide, we unite. We encourage, we help. What we need to understand is the challenges before us all, and nobody, self-included, the devil is going to use everything he can to discourage us, to bring negativity into our lives, but we can't be dividers. We need to be uniters. Nehemiah also helped rebuild their lives, and he helped them to be able to overcome. Do you know that's part of his plan? In life, in when you're making the decision today, hey, I'm going to build a new me. I'm going to grow, and I'm going to become what I need to become. Guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to throw something to stop it. He's going to put something in your life. Nehemiah chapter 2, 17 and 18, "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work." You see, what a rally. That's what we've got to be. We've got to be encouragers. And that's what Nehemiah was. And if we see that, after this rallying, wasn't it great that Nehemiah didn't spend all that time and they said, "Nah, we just don't think we can get it done, buddy. We just rather the walls be broken down." Are there people we're going to encounter that way? Maybe. People complain, "Hey, man, this is going on. Man, I'm miserable." You have one of those moments when you're like just trying to make conversation with somebody. "Hey, man, how you doing?" And then they give you their whole life story. I mean, we asked for it, right? But the point of it is like, "Oh, I wouldn't have asked if I had given you all that." But, you know, sometimes we get into that and people are miserable and they're upset and they're hurting. And you know what? And then we might take some time and say, "Well, let me help you." And they really don't want any help. There are people out there like that, but not in this church, right? We're going to be people that, yeah, my life's in ruins, and we're going to go to them, and you're going to go to them, and I'm going to go to them. We're going to all try to help out, and they're going to say, "Yeah, I'll get on that ladder. I'll climb it with you. I'll build." What would it have done to Nehemiah if they said, "Nah, we'd just rather lie in ruins"? See, we got to want it. They did. But again, there's criticism. Nehemiah 2, verse 19, "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king?'" Now I want you to look at Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. "But so it happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the armies of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he'll break down their stone wall.'" There's a word for that in the English language that I think is defined as jerk. What a jerk. What an evil, evil person. Here they are trying to do a good thing. Nehemiah is taking them from their broken pieces and he's going to help rally them and build this. But these jerks of guys, these naysayers, these evil people, the Sanballat, the Tobiah, the Geshems of the world, they're making fun. What are they going to do? They're going to build it in a day? Man, this thing's going to be so weak, a fox is going to run on it, and it's just going to fall down again. They don't know what they're doing. They're feeble. They're a bunch of Jews. They don't know how to do it. Folks, there are people in our lives outside here that are going to try to suck every bit of positivity out of your lives and mine if we let them. That's why a plan is so important. That's why everybody here is so important. That's why we need us. We need one another. We need to discourage discouragement. And this is how it happened. They mocked, they laughed, they discouraged them. But look at verse chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they then became very angry." That's the process. They're going to make fun. People are going to make fun. They're going to try to discourage. And then when they see they didn't get to you, then they're going to get mad at you. And they're going to start ridiculing you. They're going to call you out. They're going to say you're the reason of this and you're the reason of that. They'll spread lies. They'll do everything they've got to do. Pick back up now, verse 8. "And all of them conspired together to come out and attack Jerusalem and create confusion." I love this. I underline it and highlight it in my Bible, in my notes. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. What a great transition word, right? A transition word. What a great transition here. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. No matter what you do, world, Satan, naysayers, I'm not giving up. We're in January of a brand new year. In December of this 2019, we want to look back and say, no matter what Satan threw my way, no matter what came my way, no matter what he used or who he used to discourage me, I am more faithful now than I have ever been in my life. Wouldn't it be great if we all say that at the end of this year? We can do it. We can do it. We need each other, though. I need you, and you need me. And we need each other. Just like Nehemiah needed them and they needed him. Turn to now chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. More criticism comes their way, though. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it. By the way, I would also add in there, if I was writing it, foxes ran over it and it still stood tall. Though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, the Sanballat and Geshem came to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. Now, verse 3. So I sent messages to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And isn't that beautiful? These discouragers in the life of Nehemiah and in the life of Israel, here's what they said. They made fun of them, then they became angry and wanted to attack them, and now they want to deceive Nehemiah, get him off to the side, and probably beat him or kill him. This is how evil works, folks. And if we allow a little bit of it in, then the devil has a field day with it. And so Nehemiah, he understands this, again, because he's relying on God, and he says, no, they want to do me harm. He says, so he cries out to him, hey, I can't come down. Whether he's on a ladder or he's on the top of the wall or he's living in the wall, whatever it is, he's saying, look, I can't come down. Why should I come down there to you and leave this great work? And that's the way we've got to treat discouragers. I just can't deal with it. Somebody calls you up, says, hey, you know, I can't believe you're doing this and you're doing that. We just need to cut it off, be polite, do it in love, and say, hey, I can't come down off this ladder. God's got me up here, and I'm staying. I'm not going to live on the edge of scaredness or fear. I'm going to stand tall, and God's got me. My church family's got me. My elders have me. We're going to do this together. Here's the way we're going to do it. Quickly now. Stay focused on where we're going. That's what Nehemiah did. He stayed focused. There was a mountain of a job ahead of him. Again, I told you earlier, it's about 2.5 miles in diameter of wall. When he first heard of it, he had no help. Think about that. It was only him. Nobody else has rallied him. They just come and told him the bad news. Probably because he was in a position to talk to the king. And so he's got the whole world like Atlas. He's holding it all up, right? That big stone. So he had no help and he had no money. But because of his focus, he was able to rally those troops and get it done. Again, there was a mountain of oppression and criticism ahead of him. He had to get people on the ladder to build, but guess what? He had to keep them there. He had to make sure they didn't come down. You see, God wants us to stay focused on what we're doing, on where we're going. Today, right now, I'm 41 years old. I've got children that I still have to raise. I've still got, I believe, a lot of life ahead of me. Let's say I've got 40 years. More. I don't know if I will or not, but let's just say I do. That's still half my life to go. Am I going to stay focused on heaven that long? I better. You see, that's what he did. It was a big job. Now, they got it finished in 52 days, but it was a big job. And we've got to stay focused on heaven. We must stay focused on building. We must stay focused on growing because the devil wants us to be finished. He doesn't want us to focus. He wants us to be finished. He wanted Jerusalem to stay broken. He wanted Jerusalem to be finished. He wanted that to happen, but God's plan was Jerusalem was going to bring forth Jesus Christ. And God's plan always works. And we've got to trust that plan. We've got to climb up on that ladder. We've got to hang on. Nehemiah 6, verse 4, they sent me this message four times. Come on down, Nehemiah, we want to meet with you four times. And I answered them in the same manner every time. Here's the way I picture it. Sanballat, Geshem, I can't come down. They come back again. I can't come down. They come back again. I said, I can't come down. And finally, get out of here. I am not coming down. Before you leave here today, I want that to be your answer every time. No matter what Satan throws at you and no matter what he throws at me, I want you to know something. I'm not coming down. I'm going to keep building. I'm going to keep changing. I'm going to keep being renewed. And I'm going to keep bringing God the glory and honor He deserves. Heaven is too great and hell is too hot. You hear me? For us to come down off that ladder. Stay on it. Number two, stay focused. We need to stay focused to who we are. Stay focused on where we're going, but stay focused to who we are. Chapter 6, verse 5. Sanballat sent his servants to me as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Even though he said all that, he kept coming. They kept trying. He wasn't ready to leave them alone. Now let me tell you about this open letter. This is an interesting point. Most of the time, if a letter came to someone, if it was an important letter, it would be sealed. Sealed with a signet. That if that wax was broken, then you know somebody's been in that letter. It was only meant for that person, but this was an open letter, meaning anybody could read it. Anybody could see what was going to be said. Here's what was in the letter. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. I would guess that more people have quit the Lord, have quit worship, have quit the church because of gossip and rumors more than anything. I'm not saying that's a good reason to quit, but I'm just saying it's reality. I've mentioned it earlier, discouragement, negativity, people naysaying, that kind of stuff, that kind of garbage doesn't belong in our lives if we're going to be renewed and rebuilt. And that's what happened. It was rumors. And everybody could read this, remember? If I put it on Facebook, guess what? Everybody can read it. Whether you're friends or not, there's a way. Somebody... Let's say I put something on Facebook and I blast somebody at church and I only intend it for church people. Well, if somebody likes it in the church and they're friends with somebody, then they can say, man, there's ways around all this stuff. I'm just saying. It's not a closed, personal, one-on-one like Jesus told us to do. I'm so thankful Nehemiah didn't listen. I'm so thankful he stayed focused on the task. He stayed faithful to who he was. Verse 9, for they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Strengthen my hands. It's real important to have a good grip. It's real important to have strength in your hands. Why? So you can hold on. So you can do what you need to do. So we can take hold of God's hand and never, ever let go. He said, nothing will pluck you from my hand. The only thing that can pluck us from his hand is if we let go. we need to stay focused and faithful to who we are. Thirdly, this morning, maybe, stay firm in what we believe. That's our final point of the morning. Of course, after all this, criticism didn't end. They were still coming after him. They were still trying to affect him. He says, "Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, who was a secret informer, and he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you.'" Before we conclude this lesson, I want you to know one thing, and this is a sad reality. If we live long enough, we're all going to have a Judas in our lives. We're all going to have somebody in our lives we think we trust, and ultimately they hurt us. Ultimately they sell us out. Ultimately they try to do us harm. Jesus had a Judas. Nehemiah had a Shemaiah. Because look at verses 11 through 14. "And I said, 'Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in.' Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." Even though Shemaiah was trying to get Nehemiah to listen to a lie, Nehemiah stood firm in what he believed. There are a lot of people out there that we might trust. We might trust them on a spiritual level. They might get us to try to compromise. They might try to get us to stray away. Well, I want you to know that cost of compromise is far too great when it causes us to cross God. It's always right to do right. It's not wrong to do right. And it's not right to do wrong. We can't ever compromise what we believe. We must stand firm. What a story. 52 days, right? Because the people had a mind to work. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt Jerusalem. They rebuilt their lives. Nehemiah couldn't do it by himself. They couldn't do it without Nehemiah. We need one another. If we stay focused on where we're going, if we stay faithful to who we are, we stay firm in what we believe, guess what? There's no chance we're coming down off the ladders. We're going to build, we're going to build, and we're going to build. Amazing things will happen. As I said earlier, the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. No cranes, no heavy equipment, just people who were not willing to come down. If you think it wasn't an amazing feat, it's rumored that those walls were 12 feet high, 10 feet thick, 2.5 miles in diameter. 12 feet high, 10 feet thick, 2.5 miles in diameter. And they built it in 52 days. When Nehemiah received the news, they were torn down. They were living in fear. They were defeated and left in ruins. They certainly weren't on ladders, rebuilding. 2,000 years ago, Christ went up on a cross. Much like Nehemiah, he was mocked and scorned. Jesus was spat upon. He was nailed, and he was raised up for all to see. There were Sanballats and Tobias and Geshems and Judas is all around Jesus Christ. 52 days, Nehemiah changed Jerusalem. In 6 hours, Jesus Christ changed the world. Let's climb on the ladder. Let's build together. After all, it was Jesus Christ who laid the foundation. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.